Situation is my lusciousness is all there is. Y'all got that one more time. My lusciousness is all that is. So I'll just talk to you about your lusciousness. You have an eternal lusciousness. You have a lusciousness that never, ever, ever ends. You have a lusciousness that only expands and extends. You have a lusciousness that is indestructible. You are indestructible. Lusciousness. You are indestructible. Lusciousness. You are indestructible. Lusciousness. You are indestructible. Lusciousness. You came to bless the world with your lusciousness. Your job is full-time lusciousness. Now, your lusciousness has the power to heal. Your lusciousness has the power to prosper. Your lusciousness has the power to bring love and peace. Your lusciousness is far beyond your imagination and its power. You have lusciousness that you don't even know about. You have undiscovered lusciousness. I say you have undiscovered lusciousness. You're so luscious that you can't even see it. It's so big you don't even think it's there. You can let all fear and suffering in your mind be over today. It's by accepting that you deserve love. 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 You deserve to be really loved. You deserve to be really safe. You deserve to be really, 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 really safe. Take a breath.
Continue to just relax. Continue to just breathe.
To you.
And you say,
funny, I am. Accept it, you don't have to welcome it. You don't have to believe it, you don't have to accept it, you don't have to welcome it. Some of the stuff I say you're going to find hard to believe, some of it's going to startle you. If you use it, you'll see that it works. You're welcome to judge it, and you're welcome to analyze it, if you like. But that isn't what you're being required to do. But if you want to take that on, it's perfectly okay. Just analyze. But you're on the lookout for your message. You're on the lookout for your message today. And just disregard all the rest. Got it? That's how we filter it. Just accept what you want to accept and disregard everything else. Because it's a message for you. We're going to be on page 52 in the Course in Miracles. See, if you don't have a book, it's in divine order. Did you know that the Bible said that you should go with a brother twice as far as he asks you to? That you're supposed to go with somebody twice as far as they ask you to? Which is what you're doing every time you stick around somebody that's asked you to leave. You have gone twice as far as the person asked. The Bible also says you shouldn't set the person back on their journey. And if you are really devoted to a person, you can't be set back. So the only people that ever set you back are those you weren't devoted to.
Say that again.
The only people that really set you back were the ones you weren't devoted to, because if you're devoted to somebody, you can't be set back. So if you feel like you were with somebody and you got set back, somehow or another, you're worse now. You weren't devoted. I thought the problem was they weren't devoted. I had all kinds of devotion that I hadn't even had a chance to express because they don't deserve it. I got plenty of devotion for everybody when they deserve it.
I got loads. It's all stored up. As soon as I see somebody that deserves it, they're going to get my devotion. But the reason why I'm having all these setbacks is because I'm not devoted to nothing. He says, if you're really devoted to another person, it can set you back. If you're really devoted to another person, it only leads to mutual progress. So if I'm devoted and you're devoted, we're going to have mutual progress. And the result of having devotion, which is mutual progress, I had never thought about devotion as being mutual progress. He says, the result of genuine devotion is inspiration. So if I am inspired, it's because I have genuine devotion. And I have genuine devotion because there's mutual progress. And there's mutual progress because I am devoted to you. So you have to buy the CD to know what you just heard.
Yes.
Isn't that great how you keep coming back to the class, you understand what the hell he's saying, but it sounds like English. The first time I read the Course in Books, Course in Miracles, I couldn't believe my eyes. I got to read that paragraph, my first paragraph, and I didn't understand what I had just read, but I know it looked like English. And I was like a black belt in reading. I had like hundreds of metaphysical books. I'm 9th degree black belt in metaphysician. So I'm like, I hadn't read it all, you know. And then I was, okay, Course in Miracles. The Bible says that you should go with a brother twice as far as he asks, and certainly doesn't suggest that you set him back on his journey. Devotion to a brother can't set you back either. It can lead only to mutual progress. The result of genuine devotion is inspiration, a word which properly understood is the opposite of fatigue. Wow. To be fatigued is to be dispirited, but to be inspired is to be in spirit. To be egocentric is to be dispirited, but to be self-centered in the right sense is to be inspired or in spirit. The truly inspired are enlightened and cannot abide in darkness. So I just read a paragraph, and you probably had the Course in Miracles experience. Like you heard me reading words that you might not have been able to follow me, yet you knew it was English. Anybody had that experience? Isn't that amazing? So that means that we all understood what we heard, but we just trying to pretend we didn't. Because all of us understand English, and all of us understand words like you can speak spirit from thee, reflect, knowledge, speak. See, we all know, we know those words, so we pretend we don't know those words. So let's say it again. If I am fatigued, then I am dispirited, and to be inspired is to be in spirit. So to be egocentric is to be dispirited, but to be self-centered in the right sense is to be inspired. So whenever you are inspired, you are correctly self-centered. You're correctly centered in yourself when you are inspired. You're correctly, this is the right kind of selfishness to have. The right kind of selfishness for me to have is the kind of selfishness that I am in the right spirit, which means I am inspired. I get scared when I lose my inspiration, because when I lose my inspiration, I lose my magnetism that creates the stuff that takes care of me. So nothing frightens me more than when I start going about in my life mechanically and routinely, sort of like on automatic pilot, even if it comes to teaching and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Because at the point that I'm not inspired, I'm no longer healing. I'm no longer devoted, and I'm no longer centered. So if I have a life that nothing in it inspires me, then there's nothing in my life I'm devoted to. Close this. So right now, if you feel uninspired, let me see if I can help inspire you. What I'm going to do is I'm going to attempt to love everybody in my life that's not inspired while they're uninspired. And what I'm going to do that is I'm going to let them be uninspired in peace. You ready for the next paragraph? You think so? Now remember, you don't have to believe this, accept this, welcome it. Because if you think you have to believe what I'm saying, it'll slow you down. You won't be able to hear all of it if you think you have to believe it. There's a point on the path that belief slows you up. Well, there was a point on the path that everything's about what you believe. Okay, you did that really good. Now you're at the point that you have to learn about the truth beyond your belief. The truth that's true whether you believe it or not. That's the kind of truth I like. Because that kind of truth is going to come through for me no matter what I do. But the truth to come through for me just if I believe it, well, I don't have that truth to protect me no longer than I believe it. So the minute I go into doubt, I'm helpless. I can't take care of myself. So what we're trying to do in here is we're going to a level that the love will come through for us no matter whether we are right or wrong, whether we're loving or not loving, whether we're sick or healthy, whether we're nice people or not nice people, we're still going to be helped. That's the level we're going to. We're going to the level that the love is going to come to us no matter what we think about ourselves.
Thank God.
So the Course says you can speak from the part of you that's got sense, or you can speak from the part of you that doesn't have any sense as you choose. So you can choose to talk crazy, or you can choose to talk sane. He says, but if you speak from the Spirit, you can always tell because you've chosen to be still and to know that you are love. So when you're spiritual, you're still and you know that you are love. And since you know that you are God and you know that you are love, these words are inspired because when you know that you are love, you finally have knowledge. When you know you have love, you know you have knowledge. But he says also, if you speak from the fear, if you speak from the ignorance, if you speak from the part of you that feels angry, guilty, separate, that's the ego. If you speak from the part of you that doesn't know anything, if you speak from the part of you that wants to attack, if you speak from the part of you that's afraid, he says you are disclaiming knowledge. Whenever you speak from your fear, you're not affirming knowledge. So every time you speak from your fear, you're dispiriting yourself because you're not affirming your knowledge. When you speak from fear, you're dispiriting yourself because you're not speaking from your knowledge, and your knowledge is that you are love, and that's all you are. You are God. You are the Creator. So fear comes from no longer affirming that you are the Creator. Because the minute you know you're the Creator, you can create yourself right out of the thing you're afraid about. So you're not afraid because of the thing you think you're going through in your life. You're afraid because you've forgotten you are a creator. So you think everything creating you now. My children creating me. My job creating me. The weather's creating me. My money situation creating me. My relationship creating me. My body creating me. Everything is causing what's happening to me. Woo! Don't embark upon useless journeys. What's a useless journey? It's a journey that's in vain. There's a part of you that desires to take you on journeys that's in vain. There's a part of you that desires to take you on journeys that are in vain. But your spirit will never embark on a journey that's in vain because your spirit is forever unwilling to depart from its foundation. In other words, your real self loves the truth so much it would never move away from the truth. There ain't nothing that could ever happen that could ever make your real self move away from the truth. So it's never your real self that goes on your journeys that make you afraid. It's always your unreal self that's your tour guide through fear. Okay, that's paragraph 2. Any questions? Any comments? Boys and girls? Anybody got anything they want to say about that? Okay, if I'm speaking from my anger, what am I doing to myself? Am I dispiriting myself?
Yes.
Okay, if I'm speaking from my worry, am I dispiriting myself?
Yes.
Okay, do I have a choice between which voice I want to use? Well, I want to use the voice that attacks and goes off, is mad all the time, angry at everybody. Or do I want to use the voice that says, hey, you know something, Earl, you cool. So there's a part of you that can desire to go on the old journeys that you used to go on, but there's another part of you now that wants peace so much it's unwilling to depart from that state. And then you find yourself not doing the stuff that you used to do in the past, even though you tempted to, because the peace you found in the meantime means more to you than taking yourself on that useless journey that you've already been on before. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. It's tripping you out because you can't believe you're doing it.
Yeah.
You know, the things you used to do that you just would do in a second showed up, and you just, I don't think so. No, thank you. Until the thing I want to do shows up in the right form, I don't want it. And the right form is the form that's going to be peaceful for me without conflict and drama. How do I tell when this is the right person for Earl? There's not constant conflict and drama. I don't want no drama mama.
Drama mama or papa?
Now, I did. I used to at one time. There seemed to be a certain level of sexual passion you could experience with drama mamas that you couldn't experience with peaceful ones. So sometimes I trade off the drama for the passion. Because sometimes the ones that wanted to be peaceful, they wasn't too hot and big. Sometimes. Because it takes a long time to be able to appreciate something that you can have peacefully. And then one day you wake up and you find you get even more turned on by the things you can have peacefully as you used to about the things that used to bring you drama. Uh-huh. And that's a trip when you start having what you want, but you start having what you want peacefully. It trips you out. So then you realize there never was any such thing as sacrifice. The only thing Spirit was ever asking you to do was just be willing to have a new content come through everything you want. There's nothing wrong with you wanting all these different forms in your life. The course that says that your forms have a brand new content. Instead of having a body that's bringing you fear, how about a body that's bringing you love? Instead of having a job that's bringing you fear, how about a job that's bringing you love? In other words, why not let everything in your life have a new content? The course is asking us to choose what kind of content we want to come to our life, and we think we're trying to choose what kind of appearance or form we need to come up with next in order to be happy. So the average person trying to got their wish list in their mind going, trying to come up with the next thing they think they need to do in order to be happy. And the person that's beginning to recognize the truth is trying to get rid of everything in their mind that would make fear or conflict come through the things in their life. How many of you are feeling that part of you that's unwilling to depart from that foundation the way it used to? That you being more disciplined, you find yourself choosing for your peace more than you used to. Okay, right. And those of you who aren't, just get more devoted to yourself. Because when you're devoted, you'll be inspired. And it's hard to be devoted to your shoulds and your gattas and your altars. It's very difficult. So if your life is for the shoulds, gattas, and altars, it's hard to be devoted, which gives you the spirit and gives you the inspiration to allow what you want to be created for you, which is a lot cooler way to experience things in your life than always trying to figure out how to make them happen. So this is another level of consciousness we go into. Paragraph 3. Take a deep breath with me, please. Whoa! The Course in Miracles is deep, isn't it?
Yeah.
I feel like at least one question. Somebody got to have a question. I'm hungry for a question. I'm hungry. Somebody got to have a question. Come on, someone do a juicy question with barbecue sauce on it. Yeah.
Definition of devoted.
To be devoted means that I'm willing to go with you twice as far as you've asked me to. To be devoted means that I'm not going to set you back. To be devoted means I still want the best for you, whether I like you or not. To be devoted means there's no gap in my love that fear could enter through to cause a problem between us, because all the arguments are caused by the gaps in love. Because every time you create a gap in your love, you create somewhere that fear can come through and create some kind of problem for you. So if you can stay in a constant state of love and devotion, you haven't created a space for something to make you unhappy to get in and show up. There's no space for it. So sadness creates huge holes in the ozone of your happiness. So, all you have to do to get past that is that when you're feeling sad and when you're feeling unhappy and when you're worried about anything,
see that as you requesting a closing of the gap. You hear that?
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah.
Whenever you're worrying or upset or you're sick or you're feeling guilty, see that as your feeling of requesting a closing of the gap. You want that hole closed that's letting in the fearful situation, the fearful thought, the fearful thing. So then all of your worry becomes a constant prayer for healing and the help of God. And then your very worry and upset brings to you the very thing that your worry and upset was trying to make you forget, which is that God is real. See, the purpose of your worry and upset is to make you forget that that there is a creator and that you do have help and that you're not alone and that everything's going to be all right. The purpose of the upset is to make us forget the truth.
Oh, in that case, I've been praying my ass off. What about y'all?
Yeah.
I thought I was a spiritual slug. I got a PhD. I'm doing better than I thought. See how that's just another way to look at the same thing? And see how I gave you a choice of having another way of looking at it? And then watch how addicted or unaddicted you are to your old way of seeing it. Because even after hearing a better way that obviously makes you feel better because you did, you go back to using the way that don't make you feel good. And you just had the experience of feeling better from the idea that your unhappiness could bring you a healing. So you know it feels good because you've had the experience of it. But we have the experience of it and still be tempted to go back to thinking that we should feel guilty about our worry and our upset and our anger and our fear. So just take a breath. 1 minute of this, please. Everything is going to be okay. Everything is going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Everything is 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 going to be okay. The last time you kick your butt, that was your last useless journey. So stop thinking about your last butt kicking. Just dismiss your butt kicking as accomplished. Look, you know what? I'm not going to dwell on what I've done wrong. I'm just going to accept that what I've done wrong has been accomplished. It was done wrong. I did it wrong right. I did it wrong, the best wrong it could be done. I accomplished that wrong rightly. So it's been done. So how am I supposed to look at all this crazy stuff I make myself feel bad about? I should say it's been done. It's been done. It's been accomplished. Been there. Messed myself in a relationship. Been there. Done that. Don't have to do that no more. You know what I'm saying? Made financial mistakes. Been there. Done that. I don't need to do that no more. See, that's what we should, the course that we should be doing. Saying, done that. Accomplished doing it that way. Don't need to do it no more. No guilt. No condemnation. No judgment. I did that. Not going to do that no more. Got it?
Yeah.
He says, now, if you can accept that you made your own last useless journey, if you would agree that you were the one that made your own useless journey, if you were to admit that you were the one that made your own useless journey, then you could join in the resurrection.
You can join in the awakening if you are willing to admit that you're the one who made yourself go to sleep.
Yep.
Which you were taught to do when you were a kid. Go to sleep. We did a darn good job, but we just kind of took it to the extreme. You are a child that's asleep, dreaming that you are having a nightmare of separation from your source on your own, out here trying to make it. So he says, if you were to admit that you're the one that made up the sleep, then now you are in a position to join in the resurrection, which is the what? Waking up. He says, until you join in your own happiness, your life is wasted. Until you join in your own resurrection, you're wasting your life. Until you join in your life, you're wasting it. A wasted life is a life you wouldn't join in. You have a whole life you watch and go back. That's a wasted life. You're just watching it go back. I like to do that, but sure can't afford it. I like to do that, but I'm not strong enough. I'm not courageous enough. I don't know enough. I'm just watching my life go by. The best way you let your life go by is by dwelling on the last useless journey, the last thing that really upset you the most, and that's what you focus on all the time. If you're wasting your life, you feel separate, you feel like you don't have any power, you feel like you keep trying over and over again to repair your life and make things better and it doesn't work, and then finally you just crucify your body and die and have a nice day. That's what I like about this book. You know, it's not cutesy-roosy. You know, it's like you know something, and you keep on doing it the way you've been doing it all the time, all you're going to keep feeling is like you're separate from everybody, that you're weak, that you keep on trying to make things better and it never works out. Then one day you just die. And he says you can die over and over and over again, endlessly, until you voluntarily give it up. So you've got to voluntarily give up crucifying yourself over and over again and through various situations and circumstances. You have to voluntarily give up your desire to crucify yourself over and over again through various circumstances and various people. And he says, don't make the pathetic error of clinging to the old rugged cross. Don't make the pathetic error of clinging to that old hurt, that old pain, that old false belief. Don't make the mistake of clinging to that old past. He says, because until you are willing to not make the pathetic error of clinging to the rugged cross, the only message of the crucifixion, the only message of any kind of pain that you're going through is that you can overcome it. The only message through any kind of fear that you're going through is that you can overcome it. The message in any way that you are hurting yourself is you can overcome it. You can overcome it. You can overcome it. Earl, I don't feel like things are going to ever go back for me. You can overcome it. I feel like I won't ever be loved. You can overcome it. I feel like I won't ever be healthy. You will overcome it. That is how you respond to crucifixion. When you see the people that you love crucifying themselves, your message as a healer and as a teacher, you are all teachers, your message to them silently or in words is you can overcome it. You can overcome it. You can overcome it. You can overcome it. Not how did you create that?
Yeah, no.
Do not ask a person who's in pain, what did they do to create that? They will want to kill you. Nobody likes it. I mean, how many of y'all like it? I don't like it.
When
I say something's up, the first thing a person say, well, what did you do to create that? What kind of beliefs did you have? What kind of beliefs did you have to create me smacking your side to your head? Okay, now. Can you imagine how people be attacking themselves, each other, the once they discover they can't be hurt? If you really knew you couldn't kill the person who walked out in front of your car without looking because he's just messing around the one who's going across the street like 2 miles an hour and they see you coming in, they're like, hit me. Wouldn't it be great if you could just hit them? And they wouldn't die. They'd be okay. Just to see that look on their face. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have thoughts like that. I do. It's like you just want to give them. You just want to wake their butts up. You know what I'm saying? Iron automobile versus flesh. Flesh loses. It's like we don't believe in eternal life, but we do everything we can to kill ourselves. Mm-hmm. I ain't like to vote for the people that want to live. Are any of those out there?
Yeah.
And if you want to live,
yeah.
Some of you are still debating. Get back to you on this. Do you want to live?
Yeah.
You want to live?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. That'll help us achieve it. So I want to ask for your cooperation. So the Course says, Jesus said, I wasn't intended to teach you that you need to keep clinging to the past and pay for the things that you did in the past. What I intended to get you to do was to tell you that you and I got another journey to undertake. You and I got another trip that we got to take right now. And if you will read these lessons carefully, these lessons will help prepare you to undertake your next trip. You're getting ready to go on a journey, and if you read these lessons, they'll prepare you to undertake this journey. I'm just here to tell you that you're about to go on a journey, and the lessons are here to prepare you to make that journey. I'm just here to tell you that you're about to go on a journey, and I'm here to tell you that these lessons are what you will need to prepare you for this next journey that you're about to go on, because everybody in here is about to go on a journey, and the purpose of what you're studying in your own personal life and at your own personal path, the purpose of that is to prepare you for where you're about to go on your journey. Okay, you ready for the next stage of the preparation?
Yeah.
Okay, well, the next stage of the preparation is right teaching, right learning. Okay? And so, if you're going to be a really good teacher, because that's what you all are, if you're going to be a really good teacher, you have to clarify your ideas. If you're going to be a good teacher, you have to clarify your ideas. That means you have to strengthen your ideas if you're going to be a good demonstrator. You got to strengthen your own ideas if you want to be a good demonstrator of them. So if you really want to demonstrate this higher truth that you're studying that you believe will free you, then you have to demonstrate the idea in order to strengthen the idea. And so you and the person that's in front of you are just alike in the learning process. So anybody that's in front of you is just like you in the learning process. In other words, everybody in your life that's in your life, you and they are in the same order of learning. And so unless we both use our lessons on each other, we won't believe in it. Unless we both start to use what we say we believe on each other, we won't believe in it. Until I start using the truth that I'm talking about with you, I won't have any conviction in it. You won't have any conviction in any of this stuff, this metaphysical or spiritual that you're hearing, unless you demonstrate it and strengthen it in yourself by being it yourself instead of waiting for everybody else to be it. So if you're going to be a really good teacher, if you want to be a really good demonstrator to all the people in your life, be it your children, be it your people at work, everybody around you, if you really want this stuff to work out in what you call the real world, the Course says you have to believe in the idea that you are demonstrating and teaching, and that means you have to meet another condition. You have to believe in the people that you're giving the ideas to, and you have to believe in the ideas yourself. And you have to believe in the people you're giving the ideas to. So if I'm trying to give an idea to my mate and I don't believe in them, then they're not going to be able to receive the idea, and I feel like we're having communication problems. Because I don't believe in the person that I'm offering the idea to. I don't believe that they're going to accept the idea before I even tell them. I don't believe they're going to believe it, and then when they don't believe it, I'm shocked.
Yeah.
I didn't believe they were going to believe it, and they didn't believe it because I didn't have faith in the person I was offering the belief to.
That's deep.
You know, your mom and your dad and your sisters and your brothers and all the people at work, they're standing guard over the way that they think. And they want to protect the way that they think, just the way that they think is. And they know that learning means change. So a person who's trying to protect the way they think, these are people who never want to change. People who never want to change are trying to protect their way of thinking. That's what not changing means. I'm protecting my old way of thinking. Now, change is always frightening to people who think they're on their own, because people who believe they're alone trying to make it, they can't conceive of a change as a move toward healing the situation. Immediately when the chains come up, a fearful person thinks that change is going to make things worse than they already are. So when a person thinks that the change is going to make things worse than they already are, then the person doesn't want to change, and the way that they make sure they don't change is they protect their old way of thinking. We think that it's going to take us deeper into separation if we let ourselves change, because our first experience of separation, our first experience of change was feeling separate from love. In other words, the Course is saying the reason why people are so afraid of change was because their first change was their separation from God. Their first change was their separation from love. Your first change was you went out of bliss consciousness into income taxes. That's what the Course is trying to say. You know why we fight change? Because we did a change, and that change has been fearful. And so when somebody said change, I'm like, ooh, I'm not too keen on the idea of change. Now, this is explaining to us how the minds of our friends, co-workers, and relatives work, so we'll know exactly how to deal with them. First of all, the reason why you're having a hard time communicating with them is because they're standing guard over their way of thinking. So they think that if they had to listen to you, they'd have to actually change. And the last time they changed, it wasn't too cool. So most people believe that if they allow no change in their old way of seeing things, that's what the way they'll find peace. Most people believe that if they don't change at all, then they'll have peace. So your friends and relatives that are asleep believe that if they don't change at all, they'll have peace. So they're standing guard over their way of thinking because they believe that if they change, things are going to get worse for them. Now, we can have two ways of thinking that are standing on two different foundations. So in other words, there is nothing that can reach spirit from your ego, but there's also nothing that can reach the ego from your spirit. The part of you that believes completely in love, it never receives anything from love. The part of me that's completely afraid doesn't know how to receive love. The part of you that's completely afraid doesn't know how to receive spirit. When the mind's really, really afraid, it doesn't know how to accept freedom. When the mind is really, really, really afraid, it doesn't know how to accept spirit. But every time something comes to you from your spirit and you're really, really, really afraid and paying attention to the part of yourself that's really, really afraid, it'll look like spirit is not reaching you and trying to answer you. And you don't realize it's because you're so deep into fear that it looks like the truth and the love can't reach you. Sometimes it'll look like you're so deep in the problem that the solution can't reach you. It'll look like that. But there is no problem you could ever have that the solution and the truth and the love couldn't reach you. There's nothing you're going through that the answer couldn't reach you. Now, the spirit inside of you, it cannot strengthen your ego. The spirit in you cannot reduce the conflict in your ego. Because your ego is a contradiction. Your real self and your unreal self are in opposition to each other. Your real self and your unreal self are opposed in source, opposed in direction, and opposed in outcome. In other words, the part of you that doesn't love you and the part of you that loves you are fundamentally irreconcilable, because the spirit in you cannot perceive and judge, and the judger in you cannot know spirit. So your fear and your love are not in communication, and your ego and your Holy Spirit are not in communication. Your higher self and your lower self are not in communication. Your higher self and you are in communication. It's not your ego that's trying to study the Course, because your ego, the part of you believes that you are separate and that you are a body and that you are alone and you're just out here trying to make it and you're flesh and blood, that part of yourself cannot accept the truth that we're saying right now.
Your real self is what's showing up in the class. The part of you that wants to be reminded that it's not all this stuff you think you're going through, and that none of it can limit you, and that you're bigger than all of it, and that the answer is going to get to you no matter what you think. But your ego can learn, even though you've been misguided, but you can never make the totally lifeless out of the life given. You can never, you will never be able to completely make yourself unhappy. You will never be able to completely make yourself lack. You will never be able to completely lose your good. There's nothing you can do that could ever, ever cause you to lose eternal love. So that's all I got to say about that. Yeah. So let me give it to you all for being willing to even hear. Let me tell you something. I know the Course in Miracles is intense. It's different. That's what I like about it, though. That's the thing that turned me on about it so much. Because it is so much substance. It's so powerful. It's so simple. You know, if I'm going to clarify an idea, I need to strengthen it by demonstrating it myself. You are just like me. We're both in the same order of learning. If we don't start practicing this on each other, we won't believe in it. I got to believe in it myself, and I got to believe in you if I'm going to do it. Most of the people I know are standing guard over their way of thinking because they're afraid of change, because they think it's going to make it worse than it already is. So they believe that they're safe to lies and not listening to you. And not listening to me. It's not personal. It's just the way that they protect themselves.
I got my message.
That's deep. That is so freaking deep.
Yeah, that helps, though.
Yeah, because most of the frustration that we go through is how are we going to apply this around the environment that we're in every day. Or else it just sounds like so many pretty words, but nothing is practical. And I don't like stuff like that. I want something that I can use.
Yeah.
So first of all, if I want to get up in the morning and even have the energy to do anything, I need to be inspired. And the way that I become inspired is to start doing the stuff that I love and the things that I get devoted to. And stop telling myself stuff all day that dispirits me. And if I am telling myself something that's dispiriting me, I need to remember that that's a request to close the gap that even allowed that thing that's dispiriting me to even get to me in the first place, because it must be a hole that the wear is coming through, and I'd like to get it patched up.
Yeah.
That's what it says, ask for. Request for a closing of the gap, yeah. Rather than to keep focusing on the different little forms of wear that come through. You want to get through with, you want to close the gap, not deal with every little wear that comes through. You want to close the gap. And you're closing the gap just by hearing that your worry is closing the gap.
Yeah.
Just by hearing this, you're healing yourselves. Just by listening, you're healing.
I like that. I want to close the gap.
Yeah.
Brother, I want to close the gap.
Yeah, and I want to be a reminder that your gap is closed.
Thank God.
Judy, don't you get started now. Now you know. Judy says she's figured out her problem. The damn gap is closed. Actually, that's the answer. That's the answer. The answer is the gap being closed. The gap that will let anything into your life that doesn't bring you perfect joy and perfect peace. You want the gap closed. That's what you should ask for. Now, when am I asking to have the gap closed? Whenever I'm feeling any form of lack of peace.
Yeah.
Whenever you're feeling any kind of lack of peace, that is a prayer to have the gap closed in your own consciousness that's allowing that to be manifested in your life. So then your very upset becomes a prayer and a healing.
Cool. Wow.
So I'm going to do the love offering. Hey, we appreciate you. Thank you for allowing God to share with us and share with you. Oh,
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you, Corey.
Well, you know, I think that, you know, we should take it to a whole new level of practicality.
That seems real practical.
So, this, you know, so I'm a pastor. Thank you. Did y'all get what I was saying about the standing God over the thought system? Mm-hmm.
that's why people don't want to change, is because they think that when they first change, that's when their problems begin.
I really like that. So
that's right. So he says that most people believe if they refuse to allow any change to enter their ego, they would find peace. But tell yourself, my ego can learn. My ego can learn. My human personality can learn. My human identity can learn. My human identity can learn. My human identity can learn. It's time for you to it's time for you to realize you are the puppeteer and not the puppet. You are not the puppet. It's time to become the puppeteer. That's what the course is about. It's about you coming from the puppet level to the puppeteer level. And if you had three of us, we would have three puppeteers. I could resist that. Hey, that's not called for the gap to be closed. Y'all know what that is. Y'all know exactly what that is. That's not called for the gap to be closed. Yeah. So.
And we just keep doing it until we get it.
There, right, exactly. Yeah. The Tuesday class, I'm just doing it to the end of this month. There'll be no more Tuesday class. And. So Wednesday 12 noon, Thursday 7 o'clock, Sunday 1 o'clock. I want to invite you to challenge yourself to hear stuff that you may feel some resistance to, but you know it's tapping into a part of you that doesn't otherwise get addressed very often. That's what I like about this. Oh, this section, this whole chapter this chapter is unbelievable.
Yeah, I've read it, but I never heard it.
Yeah, it's a trip. It's something about hearing it together that's profound. And like you know that the CDs are available to the classes for the classes on a prepaid basis. Okay, so we get ready to go out into and please come check out the 11 o'clock service. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I cannot tell you, it has been unbelievable work. Go ahead and receive this, it'll be fine.
It won't hurt.
I'm doing better than I used to. Because I believe it.
It's astrologically based and course based, and I went before a trip when some big things were going to be happening. And y'all, I cannot tell you how helpful it was. It's just like arming you with the possibilities and the facts. And he is just so loving and so awesome. And it's $100. And I got to tell you, I don't know what it's worth. I couldn't even say a number. So I just wanted you to know that. Because I'm devoted to you. And you.
Thank you. Happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday. Thank you so much.
Five.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing that. Well, that's what I do on my birthday.
It's good.
Oh, bad's gonna be off the hook. I can still have my youth for fun and get a senior citizens discount. The streams that I go through just for a discount. I aged myself 55 years to save $1 on a movie ticket. Y'all talking about we don't need help down here? We do need to pray to God. We do. Okay, I'm gonna take it on out. We're gonna bring it in. Would you close your eyes just for a minute and let me share some cool stuff with you before you go out the door? To tell us right now, if you are in an ebb state, is to believe in your future prosperity. If you are experiencing a short or a long-term drop in your income, remember, it will be temporary. And focus on what you're learning from this experience. If you are experiencing a temporary drop in income, focus on what you're learning from this experience. 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 Focus on what you are learning from this experience.
Now, as you reach higher and higher levels of mastery and manifesting, you will be able to draw whatever you want to you, whenever you need it, and you'll be less affected by these cycles. But use your ebb periods to get even clearer about money, if it's a money thing. Use this ebb period to get even clearer about money in your life. There's an ebb period. Use this period to get clearer about it in your life. Continue to magnetize and ask yourself, what is the advantage to this situation? What is the advantage to this situation? Whatever the situation is right now, it could be money, it could be a relationship issue, it could be a health issue. Ask yourself, what is the advantage of this situation? What is the advantage of this situation? I want to see the advantage of this situation. I want to see the advantage. I want to see the advantage. What is the advantage in this situation? You're in an L period. Start acquiring new knowledge while you're in your L period. Think, relax, explore. Think, relax, explore new avenues. Think, relax, explore. If you are experiencing any kind of an ebb or a lack, there are ideas in your mind that are just waiting to be explored. There are ideas in your mind that are just waiting to be explored. There are ideas in your mind that are just waiting to be explored and tried out. Pay attention to the beckoning whispers. Pay attention to the beckoning whispers. Pay attention to the beckoning whispers of the things you love to do. Pay attention to the beckoning whispers of the things you love to do. Pay attention to the beckoning whispers of the things you love to do, as well as your dreams. Pay attention to your dreams. Pay attention to your visions. And tell yourself, the universe works in perfect ways. It always serves my higher good. The universe works in perfect ways. It always serves my higher good. The universe works in perfect ways. It always serves my higher good. The universe works in perfect ways. It always serves my higher good. The universe works in perfect ways. It always serves my higher good. The universe works in perfect ways. It always serves my higher good. The universe works in perfect ways. It always serves my higher good. May the Course be with you. See you next time.
That's for us.
Hoods are available.